professionals. What I'm talking about right there. It's that kind of quality that absolutely necessitated a fourth hour of this program. There was no doubt at all in anybody's mind. This is a program that needs 33% more. Make it so. It's 1 minute, 12 seconds after the hour of 11. And this, I'm going to skip the obligatory joke about blah, blah, blah. See, there's some sort of, it starts at 11, it goes to 11.
I wonder if anyone actually remembers that we're starting at 11.
It's one longer. I think it's going to be you and me and Tim and Chris, frankly. And some people who are tuning in to hear a Jerry Seinfeld bit from 1982. That's it. We'll see. If not, it's going to be a
lonely
hour.
Tim, did you forget your glasses again?
Oh, you know, I haven't put on my inside glasses.
Tim is wearing his sunglasses today.
I do have another pair.
He's wearing his don't look at me, don't touch me, don't make any kind of contact, don't you know who I am glasses.
The way I read on the Max.
It's to keep the rabble away.
And the Bernard Getz of the Max.
That's fantastic. For me to leave my sharpened screwdriver at home.
They will bring that to my... I will
the Bernard Getz of the Max. See, that's a joke that Sarah didn't get. That's okay. There's a whole bunch of people out there giggling at that. All right. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We're live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for being out there today. If you want to be part of today's program, and why wouldn't you, I ask you, why wouldn't you? It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. If you want to engage with us electronically. You know, my voice was all fine and recovered until Tim made the Bernard Getz comment. All right. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com for your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. All right, so here we are starting an hour earlier than we have. It's been a long time since I did a four-hour show. I think the last time, we've done this a couple of times, sort of ad hoc. That's not the word I'm looking for. I'm looking for a word that's like ad hoc, but not. But it's sort of one-off thing. Like, I remember right after 9-11. After 9-11, man, we did like 4, 5, 6, 7 hour shows because I think Ed Till was stuck. Wasn't he stuck somewhere? He was stuck in Boston or something?
Oh, he may have been.
I think Ed Till, who at that point was doing, I think at that point, we were doing a noon to three show on 1080, back on the old KOTK. And I think Ed Till was doing 10 to noon, but then 9-11 happened, and I think he'd actually been back east. I think he'd been back east visiting his family or his friends or something. And I think he wasn't able to get out of Boston, and so he was just sitting there, and they didn't have anybody else. Of course, this was such a shoestring operation. It's much different now, of course. But they had no money and no staff. They had nothing. And so it just became us. It just became Rick and Tim every day for like 7 hours. And then when I did the ill-advised and ill-produced and ill-everything syndicated show, that was 4 hours. But other than that, man, all right, it's a brave new world. In any event, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email us. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. In a moment, we'll welcome mailman Chris, the official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program, to the airwaves. And we'll take a gander forward of what the day holds. All kinds of stuff to get through today. Hold on, let me pause to take a refreshing, tasty drink of my Viso.
Oh, there is some?
Well, for us.
Oh.
Well, here's how sad and pathetic we are. That guy, Max. And God bless him. God bless you, sir. On Friday, we had this listener named Max who heard us lamenting on the air like spoiled schoolchildren that we didn't have any the visa, that we were out. And so he actually went to some Asian store all the way up in Beaverton, brought us 6 bottles of it. And he was gone by the end of the day. By the end of Friday,
no,
it was
there
gone.
Was one left. I just drank the last one.
There was one left, which Sarah has now consumed. So here's me. This is a completely true story, by the way. And this is, I don't say this for advertisement purposes. I mean, I understand that it sort of incidentally works as an ad. But I don't say this for any, this is not said for consideration. This is simply the case. I tried to take it easy this weekend. My voice is back to about 80%. We'll see how it is at the end of today's program. But I laid low this weekend, tried not to do a whole lot. It didn't talk to people. Laura was working 12-hour shifts, so I just kind of...
Well, things were going well.
Yeah, things were going flawlessly.
Until you started doing that talking.
Until I tried to speak. But I was laying around the house just trying to keep it to myself, trying to recuperate a little bit. But I came into work both days because I am a loser. And so I was coming in yesterday, and it was kind of hot outside, and I just got that... And as, I swear to God, I get in the car, I leave the house, and as I am coming into work yesterday, this is how addicted we now all are to this product, to Viso. That, and in my case, it's one specific flavor. It's this Will flavor, which is the cranberry grapefruit. And I know this sounds like a big infomercial, and I don't mean for it to...
I don't like, will you have another?
It's like they're willing me to buy it every day. I know it sounds like a big infomercial, and I don't mean for it to sound that way. It's just, I swear to God, it's the God's honest truth.
The triumph of the will.
Yes, that's exactly... That's exactly the kind of ad that he wants. I'm on my way in the car yesterday to the studio, and what am I doing in my head? You know, sometimes when you're going to work, you start thinking ahead. You think ahead to, like, what have I got coming up today? And, you know, what phone calls do I have to make? And what email do I have to answer? And, you know, what website do I have to go to gather news? That's not what I'm doing. All the way through, on my drive to work, I'm just thinking ahead to, like, what is in the refrigerator? Do I have anything left with caffeine? Is there a Will flavor? Is there a Vigor flavor? You know, the Vigor? And so I actually went to... I think 5 different stores yesterday afternoon before I finally... Well, because nothing downtown is open. It's all closed. I mean, there's nothing here. The 7-Elevens in this area don't have it. I went to Trader Joe's, I think it was, and they were out. And so I ended up going to that Dunaway Deli, which is up there, you know, down by, sort of by the First and Arthur.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
So that's me just walking in, and there it was, shimmering in the distance, like an oasis. Like a beautiful shining thing in the desert. So they had it there yesterday. So all is right with the world. That's all I'm saying. Let me find the appropriate soundbite here. And we will welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program. Where the hell have I put it? All right, let's now welcome official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
All right, Mailman Chris, our official stenographer. How are you, sir?
I am good. And yourself?
I'm doing... I'm not flawless. I'm okay. I would say by the end of Friday, I was really not even able to speak. And I pride myself on not going home early. I take a great amount of pride in staying at... You know, being a corporate drone for as long as everybody else. But on Friday, man, I got done at like 3. And by 3:20, I was in the car. And by 3:30 at the latest, I was in the car and I was driving home. I would have been no use to anybody. So I just left. So I got, as you can hear, I got a little bit of the lingering cough. But the actual voice is back to about 75-80% now. So we'll see how the week unfolds. How was your week? No unpleasant deaths in your family, I'm hoping?
No unpleasant deaths.
All right. I'm just checking because I now tread ever so lightly through the question of how was your weekend, because that sort of worked out badly for us the last time I asked you. So, all right, we are going to attempt to get to the following items today. We have, and I believe not a single, but it's a double. I believe we have a double corpse watch today. Is that right? Is it double?
It is indeed.
All right, we got a double, and today's double corpse watch has 2 separate stories, 1 corpse each, I believe. They really are something special. It's not your run-of-the-mill corpse watch today. One of them takes place in Utah. The other takes place, and this is our favorite kind of corpse watch, in a large body of drinking water. And if you've listened to any of our promos that run on the station, you know that that's a story that warms the cockles of our heart. We got news from Arizona today. We have a clown watch, I believe. Is that right?
I'll check in my bag of clown
watches. All right, that's unofficial. I'm not going to officially add that to the guarantees list.
I believe there's one in there.
It probably is. I am fairly certain. Mm.
I'm not positive.
Maybe even two.
You are correct. I am fairly certain that there is a double clown watch just lurking there.
Unless someone went to my back and stole the clown watch.
And that, it's not unlike someone. You know, can I just tell you this? Is that over the course of the weekend, two things happened. One, I am fairly certain. I'm not positive, but I'm fairly certain that someone used my headphones over the weekend. And I'm not going to devolve into another
don't
DJ rant.
No,
I don't. I don't. I now announce to everybody at CBS Radio, I do not lock my. I don't lock my office either.
Second door on the right.
Thank you.
With a bit blind.
No, because, you know,
I lock my little 1 foot by 1 foot box that I had my headphones in.
I just don't because, you know, I got the little. I think we passed some sort of unofficial, unannounced trial period here at CBS Radio because, as everybody knows, I was. The hell was that? Did you hear that sound?
No, man. Chris was just letting us know he's still there.
No, not me.
Was that your nose?
That was you.
That sounded like your respiratory system making some sort of unpleasant sound.
Maybe he was opening up a bottle of Vizo.
Perhaps. Tasty Vizo. Triumph of the will.
They probably didn't even think about that in marketing.
Be sure to pass that along.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Just a long, lingering shot from below in black and white.
He's sitting on a light post with a leg dangling in a bottle of Vizo. People spelling out Vizo with torches.
Okay, stop. Stop it now. Well, never mind. I'll continue this rant later. Anyway, Clown Watch, I believe, is coming up today. Clyde Lewis will be here. We'll be on the phone anyway with news at Ground Zero. Jim Roop, Storm Watch today. And we have to, I know that I've been teasing the top five forever, but today I turn over a new top five leaf. We will attempt to get to that top five today, and I do believe we will prevail. Do you have all that, sir?
I have a double corpse watch, the news from Arizona, Clyde Lewis, Jim Roop, Storm Watch, the top five, and a bonus clown watch.
That is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. Also, and this is also unofficial, because I've learned you can't really put too much science on the guy, but Peter Carlin assures me that he will be speaking with us today. So, all right, are you on the clock or off the clock today, Chris?
Oh, on the clock.
All right, my friend. Well, is it going to be hot?
It's supposed to be like 88 today.
That's not so bad. Yesterday it was like 98, 97, something like that. So,
yeah,
all right.
It's supposed to be down to 68 by Wednesday and then back to 90 on Friday.
Good times. All right, enjoy the day. We will talk to you at, around 3 p.m., sir.
So 4 hours.
Yes. There you go. All right, thank you. That's mailman Chris, official stenographer. What was the point I was making? Well, I have no point. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing today?
Hello, good. I was just getting sucked into the storm. Spoilers.
Ready for... No, you can't do
I
that.
I always have to, yes.
See, here's what's going to happen.
I don't like to be surprised.
You do.
No, not when it comes to something like that.
Okay, here's the reason. You're going to read them, and then you're going to feel compelled to tell me about them. And I don't want to know.
Well, because if we have Ron as a guest, I'd kind of like to know what has already happened so that we know, you know, whether or not she had a good show, a bad show.
It's
preparation.
I already know. I mean, I don't know spoilers, but I already, and I can't say how I know this, but I have already been appraised. I've been told.
Appraised.
Someone had. Someone told me. A little something about last night's Rockstar taping. And I live in fear. I'm filled with dread and loathing.
Are you canceling your trip to L.A.?
No, I can't, man. Are you telling me, do you not have to eat the cost now if I cancel it? If I cancel it, I got to eat the tickets, don't I? Isn't that the thing?
Yes.
I mean, there's no...
Unless you bought one of those policies where you can.
No, and they're screwing me already. God love them, whoever they are. I don't even know what airline it is, because Lara did it, because that's woman's work. But they're shafting me already, because I'm going down on a Saturday morning, and I'm coming back on a Sunday afternoon.
That's what L.A. does to everybody.
That's the thing. It's like going to Vegas. Yeah, well, you get those stupid Vegas, you know. Would you like to come down and have a free 3-day stay in Vegas? Just come listen to our timeshare scam pitch. And, of course, it's like, has anybody here ever done that where you go to the timeshare thing in exchange for like 3 days in Vegas?
No, but I've had friends who have done that and given my phone number out. You know how I give the phone numbers of five friends?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are real friends.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Delane.
I almost got on one of those buses by mistake instead of taking the one to go to the Liberace Museum, but I got up just in time.
Dude, the Liberace Museum is badass.
You better believe it.
Liberace Museum has the world's largest rhinestones. Mm-hmm. And they got those hot pants that he wore in the 1976 Bicentennial special. I'm telling you, man, you go to Vegas, and I'm speaking out to everybody. Yeah. You go to Vegas, you got to go to the Liberace Museum. And the Liberace Museum is near Elvis-A-Rama, which is also great.
It's so big, it's in two buildings.
Oh, it's great. The Liberace Museum is fantastic. I encourage everyone to go there. You've been to Vegas, finally, haven't you?
Yeah, I went last year, and I think one of my girlfriends and I are going to go this year again for a weekend.
We've gotten so far afield, I don't even remember what I was talking about.
Who knows what we're supposed to be doing at 11 a.m.?
There are no clear-cut rules here. Do we even have a
plan? We're in uncharted territory.
Just keep babbling so we can fill in this hour.
We're in the tall grass. We're in the weeds. No, this is effectively... it's like the 2 o'clock hour. That's how we're treating it.
Something like that.
Well, whatever. Let's talk to... we'll get this phone call, and then I'll continue to babble. And then we'll have some headlines, and then we'll have some stuff. Bob Costantini at the bottom of this hour, by the way. Charlie, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up, buddy?
I just want to say for the beginning that I'm a big Ed Till fan from way back, and I wish he'd come back. His radio show is like a nice warm blanket in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, I'll be sure to pass that along.
He's a stand-up comic.
I believe this is no joke.
Yeah. His name is now Edward Till.
Is it?
Yeah.
Isn't that to get a diss tag, do you suppose? I believe he's doing stand-up comedy on Long Island, sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'll have to go check out his show then.
Yeah, you do that.
I'm real happy to hear you add an extra hour. You know, I'm a farmer, and I'm out on the tractor all the day, and there's really nothing on the radio from 10 to noon.
Well, so. God bless you. Well, we dug in our heels. We resisted for a long, long time, and, it was sort of equal parts. People have asked us why we did this, why we added an extra hour, because people would suggest it, and then we would just resist. And our stock answer was always, you know, give people a little less than what they want, and I would always use the example of how when Regis, you know, when that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing went to 5 days a week and everybody got sick of it. But I think it was two things here. It was equal parts that we now have constantly, and at first it was a running joke that we would never get to everything, and it became sort of a shtick and a gag, that there was stuff that we would tease and not get a chance to do, or that we wouldn't have enough time for Tim. But it really did seriously get to a point where there was, and Sarah and I would talk about this at the end of the show, and Sarah would yell at me for not getting to anything, and that it was cutting into Tim's news time, because the show was so packed. And there's just so much going on now and it's not just Storm. It was even before the Storm thing happened. There's just so much going on for some reason.
And many guests we just left in the green room in tears and told to go home.
Well, I can't even.
On the show.
Yeah, and it's like, and we got through, there's like three, four different times in the past 2 months we've had to bump poor Peter Carlin, you know, and he makes time for us and nobody else, and I felt bad. So it was equal parts that we needed the extra time because we were just running out of it. We never had enough time. And, you know, frankly, that we had this 9 to noon slot on the station. We had Stephanie Miller go until 9, and then we had our show at noon, and we had that all comedy stuff from 9 to noon, which just, I don't think really fit what the station needed. I think the station needed something different. And it's not like we're what everybody holds up as the gold standard for quality, but we're already here. We're already in the building.
We're not recycled bits of comedy?
Yeah.
We make brand new mistakes every day.
We're already here. We've been doing more or less the same material for about 8 years, but they've been doing the same material for like 30. And we were cheap. So there you go. So that's why we've done it, sir. So we're glad you like the change.
Well, you rock, and I'm happy to listen to you now for the full 4 hours.
Great, thank you, sir.
I can't wait to hear your witty banter, so keep it up.
All right, well, you spread the word, Charlie.
All right, I will. Thanks.
All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the AM 970 Ministry of Truth.
Many in New Orleans still can't afford insurance because it's just too expensive. A school mistakes a huge burrito for a weapon and goes into lockdown. And a man sets himself on fire in Red Square.
Fantastic. So there you go. What was I talking about? I had some story that I was like hip deep into. And then I interrupted myself.
Was it about your Viso?
No, it wasn't.
It's either Viso or your dog.
It wasn't.
Rockstar Supernova.
Rockstar Supernova. Oh, the airlines. And so... So that's the thing with Vegas is if you go to these timeshare things, they will screw you because they, like Laura did this, and I talked about it nonstop for like a week and a half on the air when it first happened, because Laura had this whole thing of, I got this thing in the mail for a timeshare, and if we go and if we listen to the seminar, we don't really have to buy anything, and they'll let us go to Vegas for 3 days. And I told her like from jump that it was a scam. Not so much a scam as it's just, it's very misleading because the deal is you go and you sit in a room at a Marriott in like Tigard for 4 hours on a Tuesday.
Chair.
Seriously, on a folding chair drinking water out of a Dixie cup, having stale little Debbie snack cakes and just hating your life. And there's some guy at the front doing a PowerPoint presentation showing you a timeshare place that you will never be able to afford in locales that you will never actually be able to go to in times of the year that they will never be available for more money than you're ever going to be willing to spend. And then at the end of it, you have to go. And then, like, to get your free 3 nights in Vegas, you have to go sit with a guy at another folding table where he takes that information that they will use to spam you for the rest of your natural life. And we're sitting there the whole thing, and she's just like, just keep thinking free trip to Vegas. Because that's the carrot that they dangle at the end of it. Is at the end, for sitting through this timeshare thing, they will give you a 3-day trip to Vegas. What they do not tell you, but then what you inevitably find out, and which I anticipated, is that the trip is literally like you have to leave like a Tuesday at midnight and come back like at Thursday at like 4 a.m. or something. And you have to be willing to go with like 3 days notice. There's no time to say, I mean, you can really only go if you're unemployed, which makes the whole thing like friggin' pointless.
That'd be good for me.
Well, that's, I'm just saying. So as such, that's what it's like with these CBS Rockstar tickets. So I am going on Saturday the 9th. Like Saturday morning, we're stay in L.A., hang out, do whatever it is you do in L.A., try not to get mugged and hail smoke all Saturday. Go to see the Rockstar taping, which I think is Sunday afternoon at like 3:30. Fly back home Sunday night at like 9 p.m. Now, that is not this coming weekend. That is a week from this coming weekend. In other words, it's 2 weeks from last night. And you just know that they're going to boot her off like a week before. And I'm not going to, and I'm going to be stuck. And I can't cancel, as I said, because I've already paid through the ass for these tickets.
You could always stand in line for the Price is Right tickets.
No, because...
With all the ladies in the Midwest?
Well, no, it's, and I didn't have to buy... We're doing that thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we should do this. Let's toss it to Tim Riley here. We'll do a few headlines. We'll probably have to break at that point. Bob Costantini's going to be here to talk about Iran. I will lament more this whole business of Rockstar Supernova.
See, we're already an hour early, but we're already 20 minutes behind.
We're already late, and we've added a full hour to the show, and I'm already goddamn 20 minutes behind. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the Ministry of Truth with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It's Katrina's first anniversary. And many in New Orleans still can't afford insurance. You know, on the average house, the insurance is $10,000. Add that to your monthly payment, your mortgage, and that's $800 more a month than what you were paying. So why not come back to New Orleans, you ask? Mortgage brokers are penciling in hundreds of extra dollars to New Orleans loans they're writing to account for soaring insurance premiums. Those living in condos are being slapped with hefty increases in condo fees, the result of a spike in the building's wind and fire coverage. Hotels and innkeepers are paying more, too, an especially heavy burden at a time when tourism is scarce.
I don't even know. We tried to get Amanda Moyer from CNN about this because she's in New Orleans, but she was busy doing something or other. She was out there.
She was indisposed.
I think she was out in the street, as they say, talking to the people. About all this, but the thing that nobody's ever adequately explained to me is where all the people from New Orleans went.
Oh, they're scattered all over the place.
Yeah, but where are they living? It's like, did anybody here watch, does anybody have HBO but me?
You're the only one.
All right. Well, I have HBO, and so I watched this Spike Lee, I've watched half of it anyway. It's like everything Spike Lee does, it's like three times as long as it really needs to be, but it's great. And, it's called When the Levee Broke, and it's a 4-hour documentary about the Katrina thing. And I'm only halfway through it, and I can't, I mean, after just 2 hours, it's already so, he's covered everything I could imagine him covering, so I can't imagine what the other 2 hours are going to be. But
is it, like, kind of grotesque? Does it show the stuff that the news didn't?
It's so, you know, it reminds you of watching, and I mean this in a positive way, because we're big Michael Moore fans here, but it reminds me a lot of a Michael Moore film. It's that sense of just watching something and realizing it's footage that you don't ever see on CNN mm-hmm. or Fox. And people might say that it's slanted or it's biased, or but it doesn't really seem like there's much bias in a documentary about a hurricane that destroyed everything. You know what I mean? Like when there's this amazing footage, and by amazing I mean horrifying, where it's a Soledad O'Brien from CNN. She's there and she's doing what they call a stand-up, mm-hmm. which is where a stand-up, if you don't know, that's a journalistic term where literally they are out in the street standing up in front of the camera and saying, John, as you can see behind me, there's a building that's destroyed. So when they're on location, standing out there in the middle of the street, pointing at whatever it is they're covering, that's a stand-up. So she's there on like a Tuesday after the hurricane. And there is, this is so gross, but there's literally like a dead body just like sitting in a shopping cart on a sidewalk, right? And so she's there, and it's like, this is like in the middle of downtown. I mean, this is like out in the middle of the street in downtown New Orleans, and she's, you know, she's doing her stand-up for CNN. She says, as you can see, there's devastation behind me. Off to my right, inexplicably, a human body that has been left behind, placed in a shopping cart here in the aftermath of blah, 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 blah. And then they cut forward 3 days to Friday. They bring her back to town. She's doing a stand-up. Spot for CNN Friday.
Same spot.
Same spot, same human body in a shopping cart.
God.
And I mean, it just, I'm not saying anything anybody didn't know, but it really just blows your mind. I mean, it's just inexplicable that in the United States, I mean, New Orleans is a major city. I mean, it's like on the scale of Seattle. I mean, it's a major American city. And the idea that a body could sit in a shopping cart in the middle of the street in a major American city for 3 days, and no one comes by to move it. I mean, it just staggers you. It just, so if you get a chance to watch it, it's called When the Levees Broke, and it's just, and is equal
parts. Maybe the shopping cart didn't have one of those alarms on it.
Yes. It's equal parts fascinating and just infuriating, and you just get that, like, really, again, as with Roger and Me or Bowling for Columbine, you just get that real, like, impotent, furious anger. Where you just, like, you want to punch somebody, but you're really unclear about who ought to be punched. So, but they just show, you know, all the stuff at the Superdome, and there's a whole montage of just bodies abandoned all over town and dead folks, and it's just, it really is exceptionally well made, but goddamn, it makes you angry. You're just sitting there, you just, and they point out all the same stuff, that it's like, that you always hear that quote from the military, that the 82nd Airborne can be anywhere in the world within a day and a half, and yet it took 5 days for the military to find New Orleans and a map to get down there. So, anyway. But all of those people who left New Orleans, I mean, I don't think it has so much to do with race as it does to do with class, but you get, you know, 150,000 people from New Orleans who were suddenly picked up and put in Utah, which many of them were. I mean, it sounds like a dumb joke, but they're all stuck into Salt Lake City. I mean, are they all just living there now? Is that their new home?
I guess so, yes.
They're all just staying in Provo? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very...
It'll be good.
The whole thing is very puzzling. So tomorrow we're going to talk to Amanda Moyer from CNN and find out what's going on down there. Do we have to break? All right. So here's the thing. We're going to break. We'll come back. We've got Matt, who wants to weigh in with something here. Bob Costantini is going to join us from CNN here in a few. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin, Top 5, Jim Roop, and the Top 10 Ron Popeil Inventions. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. I'm in the background. Hello. Okay, thank you. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on.
I don't think it's the music. I think it's your voice that's a little weaker.
My voice is fine. My voice has a crisp yet warm timbre to it today. No, it's, you know what it is? I'm a little nasal. It's not so much
me
the
too,
throat.
It's the allergies.
That's what I'm saying. It's not so much the throat today as it is the nose. I'm not sure whether it's the cold it working its way through it various sections of my head, or whether it's just some sort of an allergy thing today. But there is no doubt
I know that this is only one step removed from talking about the heat and what it's like where you are. But there is no doubt that we're in some sort of weird hay fever, allergy season.
My eyes are all red and itchy. I can't see.
You shouldn't touch those. No, but you rub it, it's just going to get worse. No, you don't want to do that. You ought to be using that Purell stuff in the bathroom.
I have been. I just did.
Yeah. You'd be all over that because I've got the allergy thing and then the head cold thing is sort of both bearing down on me, so that's no good. But my throat's actually a lot better. It's all about the nose today. You don't want to know the details.
I don't.
Let's see. What should I do here? We've got some calls to get to. Well, we should do Bob Costantini first, and then we will get Matt and these other calls. Don't forget, coming up at noon, we have the KOTK. Boy, that's bizarre. It's not going to be the KOTK Noon News Hour. We will have the AM 970 Noon News Hour later on, Peter Carlin, etc.
Does KOTK even exist anymore?
It does. It's, I believe.
Is it KSN?
No, the frequency is still there, but the actual call letters, or calls, as they say in radio,
are still with the fan?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that KOTK is now in Oklahoma City. I may be wrong about that, though. I'm sure Tim will find out. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini. How are you, Bob?
Good morning, Rick. Doing fine. Good morning to you and all your listeners.
Thank you.
Hello, Bob.
You're sounding very professional today.
I'm trying to be.
Was somebody given a talking to, or are you just trying to turn over a new professional leaf today?
No, it's Monday. As the week progresses, I've become perhaps less professional. I'm not sure.
All right. Scotty is pointing out that K has to be on the West Coast. Well, what... Is Oklahoma considered, what side of the Mississippi River is Oklahoma on?
It's west of Mississippi, so it's a K.
It is a K.
Yeah.
That's right, Scotty.
Normally.
Shut your head. All right. So, let's talk about everybody's favorite, because you were talking a little bit about Iran today. Is that not the case?
Me?
Yes.
No, not exactly.
Okay. But, isn't that what we were told he was talking about today, Sarah? Were we told that he was talking about Iran?
Iraq.
Okay, would you like to...
There's a difference in letters, though.
Okay, but would you be surprised to know that neither of those things is what the CNN prep sheet claims you were talking about? The CNN prep sheet today claims that you were talking about Hurricane Katrina.
Well, yes, I have done a number of reports about President Bush heading down to the Gulf Coast.
Yes, we called CNN Radio this morning and we said, hey there, your prep sheet claims that Bob Costantini's talking about George Bush and Hurricane Katrina. Boy, howdy, we'd love to talk to him and get his thoughts on that. And,
oh, that's fine.
We were told rather brusquely that we would not be allowed to do that.
The person who talked to you apparently did not realize that I had done some stories regarding the president this morning.
Now, Sarah, who did we talk to? Was it Laura or was it someone else?
It was Richard.
It was someone else, and I'm not going to say names because...
No, it was Richard, apparently. We'll say the name.
He wanted to let your people know that, yes, I can talk about the president being in New Orleans.
All right. Because we were denied that, were we not, Sarah?
Yeah, Richard said you weren't talking about that, that the other woman was talking about
Richard,
it.
Who apparently... And the bizarre thing is that, look, we're in Portland, Oregon. How many miles away from Atlanta would you say that we are here? I don't really know much about geography.
You're about at least 2,800 miles. How about that?
All right. Well, let's say that that's true. So we're almost 3,000 miles away from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know that you were talking about Hurricane Katrina this morning. The guy actually in Atlanta, in the building where they wrote the sheet, apparently was not aware that you were talking about Hurricane Katrina. He had no information about that.
Yeah, I told him I was reading it from the sheet.
Reading it from a sheet that I'm pretty sure was prepared about 4 feet away from him at somebody else's cubicle this morning. But
no, he comes in later, though.
Okay.
That's why.
You know, there's no need to make excuses for shoddy workmanship, Bob.
I have to look on there myself to find out what I'm supposed to be talking about.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, new broom sweep clean, Bob Costantini.
Please.
All right, well, let's...
He's a nice guy.
I'm sure he is. Many, many nice people are not terribly efficient. That's all I'm saying. I'm sure he's a good person. I'm sure he's good to his pets and his family. I'm simply saying that his ability to read the prep sheet and to accurately know what his anchors are talking about sometimes is... You know, there's a little room for growth there, as they might say at a management seminar. Well, let me ask you this about, because we are, what is it, are we now a day past
the one-year anniversary? When was the one-year anniversary of this?
Well, tomorrow is actually the one-year anniversary when the hurricane came ashore.
All right.
So a year ago today, it was, you know, we had good idea that it was going to slam into New Orleans and much of the Gulf Coast. And a year ago today, a lot of people were leaving, people who had cars and that kind of thing. Were able to get out, and other people were heading to the Superdome.
And I watched over the weekend, I've only seen the first half of it, but I watched over the weekend the first 2 hours of Spike Lee's four-hour documentary called When the Levee Broke, which is a very, very, very in-depth, very gripping look at the hurricane and its aftermath and its so forth. And here's a dumb question. Is it... Because it's become very popular for a lot of people, including my right-wing in-laws, to just sort of very flippantly dismiss a lot of what happened during Katrina by saying, well, when the government tells you to leave, you just have to leave. And that's become the sort of boiled-down, bullet-point, one-line, glib right-wing response to pointing out, you know, that there was such a huge disaster there. But, I mean, so the question is, why... To whatever extent you can answer this, why were there so many people still there? Is it just that there were? Is it just that it was such a poor area that there's all kinds of people who didn't have the means to get out?
Well, certainly there were a number of people who did not have the means to get out, and they went to the Superdome, assuming that that things would be okay there. It's of course a huge structure that would have that did withstand the hurricane, although the part of the roof was ripped off. And, of course, people did not count on the idea that the levees would break. I mean, the hurricane itself struck ashore to the east of New Orleans, and yet the tidal surge is what created so much pressure on the levees that they broke in 50 separate spots in the levees in the New Orleans area.
And so we've got all of these people who they were displaced or relocated. Some of them obviously went to Texas. We heard about people going to Oklahoma, even Utah, and so forth. And so my question is, of a year later, are those people, are they all still, all of those people who were taken out, are they all still living in these other states? Have they come back? What percentage of them have come back to New Orleans and have been able to sort of pick up sometime where they were, you know, some kind of semblance of where they were?
I'm not sure of the exact percentage, and I'm not sure even the government knows of the exact percentage, but there are supposedly tens of thousands of people who have not come back. Large amounts of them went to, as you point out, Houston, which was willing to take them in, and the buses that finally did arrive at the Superdome and other places did take those people to Houston, which was welcoming to them. But it's still unclear as to what percentage of people did not return. It could very well be as close to 50%, from what I understand, and that's a rough estimate. But there are whole sections of New Orleans, from what we are told, that are still without the population. The people never came back.
Well, and I know
those people who are renters, by the way, living in the Ninth Ward there. A lot of them just up and left, and either went to live with family or did go to other places.
Well, and I know the businesses are going to be hating it, too, because, I mean, not only did they have to deal with all the destruction, but, I mean, they've had to deal with the fact that it seems like this has probably put a bit of a damper on the tourism and so forth. So I know that Bush is down there trying to help to get the economy moving down there again. But, I mean, it's going to be years, undoubtedly, before that area is anything remotely approaching normal again, right?
Yes, the federal government has committed as much as $110 billion to the restoration of New Orleans and other parts of the Gulf Coast, but only about 20-25% of that has been allocated specifically to the various things. The White House has been talking a lot of this up lately, but there's still a lot of money that has not been allocated for anything in specific.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of work down there that still has to go on. If you talk to people who visit and who go, you know, who see the destruction that remains, they're staggered by it, how it looks a year later. And this is what we understood when it occurred. We understood that this was going to be a long, long time for a full restoration. And, of course, it remains to be seen if there will be a full restoration in New Orleans in particular.
Bob Costantini from CNN, Radio Washington, D.C. By the way, just so you don't feel like your Iraq prep went to waste. Even though we were not told that you were talking about Iraq, that was the thing that was sprung on us at the last moment, despite the CNN's own prep sheet claiming you were talking about Hurricane Katrina. What did you prepare about Iraq today, Bob, if you had to boil it down?
Well, the Pentagon had a briefing today from a general who was in Iraq, who deals with the efforts to get the Iraqi army and Iraqi security forces to take over the security mission. We learned that about 100 Iraqi army soldiers down in the Maysan province refused to go to Baghdad, even though the government had ordered them to go to Baghdad, meaning the Iraqi government had ordered them to go to Baghdad. These Iraqi...
Isn't the Iraqi government just some guy at a card table? It's just one guy. It's like Lucy Van Pelt in the Peanut strips.
Right.
You know, the president is in at 5 cents.
There's a few of them, but Prime Minister Maliki is supposed to be the leader. At the moment. But that's what we dealt with Iraq.
Well, there you go. See, I didn't want you to feel like it had gone to waste.
I appreciate it.
All right, Bob Costin. Bob, you know, one final question here. Now you are supposedly, you said, a part-time guy or a fill-in guy. You've been there for a long... Has somebody died?
Been almost 2 months.
Yeah, seriously. Is this some sort of a Microsoft perma-temp kind of position you've got there?
Well, no, they keep sending the other people to other places, including...
into war zones.
Dick
That's
Giuliano,
really what...
Oh, yeah. And Dick Giuliano, who's the morning guy, was sent down for the shuttle launch.
Now, we know Dick Giuliano. He used to talk to us. Dick Giuliano's yet another CNN correspondent who I believe has surreptitiously asked not to be booked on our show anymore.
So. Well, no, he gets off usually at 1:30 Eastern time, which is 10:30 your time.
It's not always about you.
I'm just saying. where there was that whole Pat St. Clair business that happened. All right. Well, Bob Costantini, enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. We will talk to you very soon.
I'll probably be here tomorrow, too.
Thank you. As always, a pleasure, Bob.
All right. Great.
All right. There you go. Bob Costantini on the Hill there in Washington, D.C.
Don't let him know that people want to stop talking to us.
Oh, come on.
Can't afford to lose any more CNN correspondents.
It's not going to do me any good. What am I? You know what I mean? It's
just lie. Everyone wants to be on the show.
There's no point. There's no point in lying. It didn't save us in the past. Might as well just be upfront with people and let them know what they're getting into when they start coming on the show. Really? Is that true? Don did? I know it's another one of those one-sided conversations I'm talking. I should tell you this. People sometimes ask who I'm speaking to or why it sounds like I'm talking aloud to no one.
Because you are.
Because I am. Scotty does not have what they call in radio a talkback system, which is a closed circuit feed into my headphones where he can say, like, you know, take the guy on line 4. So instead he types it on the screen, and then I have to just speak back to him over the microphone here. So this is Don who just did this. Should I take him now? Okay. So Max, hang on a second. We'll get to Max here on line 2. Let's go to line 58 or whatever the hell this is. This is Don. Don, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello, how are you, Mr. Emerson?
What is up with you, brother? Now, are you the same guy who emailed me earlier about seeing Storm perform somewhere in Hollywood?
Correct. I bumped into you at Dante's, introduced myself real quick. I just got into town like about an hour ago.
And so you were in Los Angeles over the weekend?
Correct.
And so you saw... So is it you saw a taping of Rockstar Supernova, or you saw Storm performing at some sort of third-party venue, or both?
Just a Rockstar Supernova event.
Ah, okay. So I think I'm in my head. I think I'm merging you. Was this an actual taping of the show that you saw?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so I am...
So you saw Sunday's taping.
Okay, so there we go. Because there's a guy who emailed me who saw Storm and some of the other guys from Supernova performing... You know, it's like some bar somewhere. You know, it was some sort of CBS event. It wasn't broadcast. It was like, you know, this. And when you live in LA, that, you know, that sort of thing happens all the time. It is whatever. It was like the stars of Rockstar Supernova performing live at Bob's, you know, Waffle House or whatever.
Well, it's funny you said that, because I bumped in, I befriended a gal in line, and she is from the area, works at Capitol Records, and I think she had mentioned about that show that you're talking about.
Yeah. So I'll talk about that later. There was a guy who emailed me over the weekend. He's like, hey, I happen to be in LA this weekend, was just there for some other business with my wife. We're in Hollywood, and we happen to see that there's this concert happening, and it was Storm and Lucas and
Delana. I guess it was all the remaining contestants.
Gotcha.
Just competing at some whatever, some one-off event. So we'll talk about that later. So you actually were at that. Now, did you go down to L.A. specifically for the Supernova taping?
Oh, heck yeah.
All right. And so, now we're at that awkward point, though, where it's like, what do I want to know? What do I not want to know?
No, and, you know, I don't know what I can say or can't say because...
Now, were you there as a representative of somebody?
No, I was just...
Oh, then
you're the fan.
You can say whatever you want then. I mean, as far legally speaking, I mean, if you went down there as a representative of CBS,
gotcha.
Or if you were down there, as a representative of a record label or whatever, I think that you might be restricted. But I think you're just some fan that went down. I think you can say whatever you want. The question is, do we want you to say it? That's the question.
I'm sure it's all on the spoilers in the message boards already, anyhow.
Probably. And, Sarah reads those. And then here's the thing is that we go through the same thing every Monday where Sarah reads the message board and then... You know what it is? It's like a couple living together, and one has gotten clean and the other hasn't. Seriously. And I'm sitting over here trying to stay on the straight and narrow, and Sarah's like firing up a match underneath a spoon. On the other side of the room, going, come on, baby.
Yeah.
Come on, chase the dragon with me. And I'm just like, I don't want to, and then, and whatever.
Well, all I can say is she nailed it. She just, for a song that she was unfamiliar with, she...
Well,
I heard that Gilby was an ass to her, though.
Let me ask you this, Don. It is about 10 minutes to 12. I'm looking at the show and trying to see if there's. Would you be able either we could call you, you could call us, and we could talk to you a little bit later on in today's program about the taping.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Don and Scotty J will get your contact information.
Okay.
Because we got to go to the news here with Tim and a few, and then we'll come back to you later in the show and talk to you about the Rockstar Supernova taping.
No worries. I can't tell you how great my memory is, but I can give it my all.
That's so fine. You see, the thing is, if you make stuff up, we won't even know.
Exactly.
All right, there you go. Hang on, Don. There you go. So, Scotty, we can talk to Don, get his... How great is that? You know what it is? You know what we have? We have a line on the inside. That's what it is.
It's just amazing how many people are connected through this Rockstar Supernova family.
Look, we got Brian... and Webley, who were the couple that were at the Austin airport on Friday that, I don't want to say ambushed, but that spotted Patrice Pike and so forth. And then we had this guy who emailed me over the course of the weekend who happened to be in L.A. and saw Storm performing at this thing. This guy.
Yeah, so many people happened to catch that Patrice Pike interview.
Oh, so great. I got to excerpt it and play it again. And then, of course, Laura and I are going down on the 9th and the 10th, and I've already talked about this. I was talking about this earlier. And I have to go down now, even if, I swear to God, though, if Storm gets kicked off right before I go down to L.A., I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to have to kill. Because...
You know that's the way life works, though.
Because I
know
can't
that's what's
not
gonna happen.
Go.
And you're going to have to listen to Delana sing her name over and over again.
I'll have to clap. Because I'll be in the audience at a TV taping, and you can't be the guy not clapping.
No, I don't think you want to read the spoilers, because you'll just be totally disappointed.
Why do you do this to me? Why?
Because I'm just saying,
And we've already bought our tickets. I can't. Look, if I cancel... You're not hearing me.
I know. Wouldn't you rather just eat the money than have to go and clap for Delana? Come on. Balance it.
Maybe I could go there and heckle. I should totally go and heckle Delana.
You won't do it. You talk the big talk. You wouldn't do it.
Just throw something.
I would do it. You wouldn't.
Yeah, but you can't fly. I'd almost send you, but I don't think you can do that now. In a post-9/11 world, I don't believe you can pass as Rick Emerson. We'll talk about it later. Because And I'm flying down on my own dime, but I pulled a couple strings to get a pair of tickets to the taping, because those are free, but they're also hard to get and so forth.
Do you get to sit in the press area?
I don't think so. I think they're just normal, Susan Reynolds, she pushed a few buttons in a few places and got it for me. But again, it's like I'm paying my own hotel, my own car, my own, it's not like I'm going to try to make CBS pay for my everything, whatever. But she's like, look, if you can cover your airfare and your whatever, she's like, I think I can get you a pair of tickets to one of the tapings. The worst part about it is, the very worst part, is that she said, like, what weekend do you want to go? Me. The 9th and the 10th. What could go wrong?
You're going to miss the Soapbox Derby.
I'm going to miss a whole lot of things, apparently.
You've known. I've been working on this for a really long time.
I didn't know that was the 9th and the 10th.
It's the 9th.
Well, how was I supposed
to
know?
It's Saturday.
No one tells me anything. See, so you wouldn't be able to go to the taping either.
I wouldn't want to go to the taping.
Why do you have to say
this? You promised me you'd go. I'm a little hurt.
To what?
To the Soapbox Derby.
I didn't know the Soapbox Derby was the 9th and the 10th, or the 9th. I had no clue. I had no idea. And I can't... Here's why I can't cancel the trip. Because A, I would have to eat the tickets. B, I would then not be using the taping tickets that Susan was nice enough to go out of her way to get. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't not use the favor that she got for me. You could videotape the thing. I'll watch the Soapbox Derby later. I'll watch it on ESPN5.
Yeah.
All right. We should break here. We'll come back. Coming up around the corner, the AM 970, not the KOTK Noon News Hour. That wouldn't make any sense. The AM 970 Noon News Hour with Tim Riley comes up around the corner. Later on, Peter Carlin. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.